Good morning, everyone. Turn with me to Mark chapter 13. Mark 13, as we continue verse by verse, chapter by chapter through the Gospel of Mark. We're going to be wrapping up this chapter this morning. I debated on whether or not we should go into chapter 14, but this morning as I was looking at it, I was like, it became obvious that there's a lot in this chapter. There's a lot. Even though it's just a few verses here, I'm excited. I'm very excited. I believe that Jesus Christ is coming soon. We're closer today than we ever have been. I can say that with absolute certainty because we are closer today than what we were yesterday. And I'm feeling it in my soul. Jesus is coming soon. And as I look at this chapter, I'm excited to see the rapture. The rapture is right here in these verses. We're going to get deeply into that. Up to this point, we've been looking at how, Palm Sunday. It was Palm Sunday that Jesus rode into Jerusalem. He goes into the temple. He sees what's going on in the temple. All he sees is religion. He sees no love, as represented by the fig tree in which he left. He went to Bethany. The next day he's coming back. He looks at the fig tree. He's looking for love. That's the picture we have here. He's looking for fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And all that's on this fig tree are leaves representing the great nation of Israel. The fig tree has always represented Israel. It's a picture of Israel. And it's a picture of Israel full of religion. He curses the fig tree. He said, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. He curses it from the roots up. And we see this the next day. Peter comments, Lord, the fig tree which you cursed, it's dead. He says, have faith in God. Have faith in God. The fig tree was dead from the roots up because Jesus says you can't put a new spirit into an old religious system. He wasn't saying this was the demise of Israel. He's saying this is the demise of that old religious system. Because when God's focus goes back to the Jew, there's going to be 144,000 Jewish evangelists filled with his spirit of love. It's going to be reaching out to a lost world. As we looked at Mark 13, we've seen in chapter 11, we've seen the cursing of the fig tree. In chapter 12, we hear him clearly say that he was going to give the land over the Gentile nations. In 13, he's coming out of the temple and he talks about how one stone of the temple would not be left upon another. And of course, we know that in 70 AD, Titus Vespian rides into Jerusalem. He burns the city. The temple is completely, totally dismantled as Jesus had prophesied. So we see the destruction of the temple. But then he goes on talking about the Antichrist, how he would commit the abomination of desolation. Where would this take place? We know from Daniel, we know from Paul's teaching, we know from the book of Revelation that it's going to be taking place in the temple. So we know there's going to be a rebuilding of the temple. So Jesus is talking about what's going to happen before the Great Tribulation. Then he's going to be talking about what's going to happen as the Great Tribulation comes about. And then the middle of the Great Tribulation, when Antichrist commits the abomination of desolation. And then he talks about his return, how he's going to return in the clouds. These are the sun's going to be dark and the moon's going to be turning into blood. There are going to be all kinds of signs and wonders in heaven when he returns. Now, today, as we get into the parable of the fig tree, the disciples had asked, when will all these things take place? He tells them what would be the indicator. What would be the sign of his coming? The sign of his great and awesome coming. That great and awesome day when he comes back to planet Earth to establish his kingdom. So he tells us what would be the sign of this coming, and then he tells us what to do, what to be looking for. He tells us to be on the alert, and in that we can clearly see, if you know anything about the scriptures in totality and the Jewish customs, you can clearly see the rapture in that. But he tells us to be waiting, to be watching, to be on alert. That's what we should be doing today. Looking for Jesus is coming. Not looking for Antichrist, although we see all the signs of Antichrist. He's not the one we're going to be looking for, because we're not going to see him with our physical eyes. We're going to see Jesus before Antichrist comes to power. And that's why he says, be waiting, be watching, stay on the alert. Be looking for my coming. We pick up Mark chapter 13, verse 28. He says, now learn the parable from the fig tree. He said there's something to learn from the fig tree. He says learn, because this is not something the disciples could understand at this moment. Why? Because a fig tree represents Israel, and he's talked about the destruction of Israel, but they haven't put all this together yet. Once they see this, the destruction of Israel, then they would understand the parable from the fig tree. So the fig tree, as I've already mentioned, represents the nation of Israel. It's the national symbol of Israel to this day. And Jesus cursed the fig tree, but now he's talking about the rebirth of the fig tree, the nation of Israel. He says, now learn the parable from the fig tree when its branches has already become tender. It's a new birth. The branches are becoming tender. And puts forth its leaves. Now that involves the temple. But we also understand this is speaking of the rebirth of Israel. Israel was reborn in May 1948. You have the Balfour Resolution, which took place in 1917, which established the boundaries of Israel. But Israel was physically reborn as a nation in May 1948. There was the rebirth. He says, even so, you too, verse 29, when you see these things happening, when you see this rebirth of Israel, recognize he is near, right at the door. Jesus standing at the door. He says, when you see this rebirth of Israel, understand I'm at the door. I'm ready to call you up. And that's something else we're going to look at here in just a moment. We see John, you know, he's having this revelation. He's having this vision. He says he looks up into heaven. He sees a door standing open and a voice like a trumpet saying, come up here. Jesus says, I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. But he hears this voice calling him up into heaven. He says, understand, he's standing right at the door. He's the door, and he's also the doorkeeper. If he shuts the door, no one can enter. If he opens the door, you know, you may enter. This is our time to enter. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. What is he talking about? He's talking about the beginning, the middle, and the end of the Great Tribulation. And this rebirth of Israel will be the sign that the time is upon us. He says that people who see this rebirth, this regeneration of the nation, will not pass away until all these things take place. What's a generation? You know, some people said it's 40 years. Other people says it's 100 years. I believe Psalm 91:10 makes clear what a generation is. Psalm 91:10 tells us that a generation is 70 years. If there's strength in that generation, it could live as many as 80 years. Now, does that mean that it's exactly 80 years? But I don't believe so. I think we're talking about a general period of time. I mean, what's the average lifespan of someone today? I believe it's 70 years. If somebody's really strong, like Clint, he might live 80 and beyond. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. This will happen. But of that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Now, we do know in the book of Revelation that the Father handed these things down to Jesus. Jesus handed them down to John, who hands them down to all of his disciples. But what I think he's pointing out here is because the book of Hebrews tells us that God spoke to us in past times in many portions in many ways. He spoke to us through the prophets. He's also spoke to us through the nation of Israel as a whole. All the customs, all the courtesies, all those things that were in the nation of Israel was pointing to Jesus, who he has spoken to us through in these last days. But we know from the Jewish wedding feast, Jesus used this language frequently throughout the Bible, or throughout the Gospels, should I say. And the disciples would understood what he was speaking about when he referred back to the wedding, the Jewish wedding. In the Jewish wedding, you know, a bride and groom would become engaged. At that point, they were actually legally married, but they would separate. The bride would go to prepare herself for the wedding day. The groom would go on to his father's house to prepare a place in his father, make an addition to the house for his bride. And sometimes that would be a year-long process. Jesus spoke of this in John chapter 14. He says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would not have told you." He says, "If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you also may be." What he's saying is, he says, there's many dwelling places in my Father's house. I'm going to prepare a place for you, a specific place for you in my Father's house. Now consider this, he's saying. He says, if I go to do that, if I go to the trouble to prepare a place for you, don't you know I'm going to come back and receive you to myself? You see, that's what the bridegroom would go do. He would go to prepare a place for his bride. And then at a time that was only known by the Father would say to the Son, when he approved the addition to the home, go get your bride. And it would be a trumpet sound. And then it would blare. There would be a procession would go out for the bride. And there would be these groomsmen who would lift the bride up, lift her up, and carry her to the bridal chamber. Jesus spoke of this, and this is something that the disciples would understood. This was a part of the bridal tradition, when the marriage tradition. And Jesus said, "I'm going to prepare for a place for you. I'm going to come again. I'm going to receive you to myself, and I'm going to take you to my Father's house." We also see hints of this in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 26. I'm going to back up from the verse that I was actually zeroed in on. Jesus is talking that there's going to be a day, and we're to be on alert of that day. Once we see the rebirth of Israel, there's going to be a day that he's going to come and receive us. Picking up in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19. "Your dead will live." He said in 2 Thessalonians, I'm sorry. I didn't actually, yeah. He said, "For I say to you," 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15, "For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep." The dead is actually who he's referring to, those who's passed on. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air." So I believe that's what Isaiah is making reference to here as well. Remember, when Paul was teaching about the rapture, when he's talking about the end of days, he didn't have the New Testament. He was a writer of the New Testament. He got all of his information from the Old Testament. And so now, I believe that Isaiah, giving prophecies, talking about the day of resurrection. I believe he's talking about the day of the rapture. He says, your dead will live. Their corpses will rise. You who lie in the dust, awake and shout for joy. For your dew is as the dew of the dawn. And the earth will give birth to the departed spirits. Come, my people. So we see a resurrection, right? We see the resurrection. Jesus talked about a resurrection when he talked about, you know, going to his Father's house and preparing a place. Actually, more specifically, I believe he's talking about the rapture. And so we see the resurrection of the dead. Paul said, we who are alive and remain will not precede those who've passed on. He says, come, my people. I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. I go to prepare a place for you. Then we hear, come, my people. Enter into your rooms. Come, my people. Enter into your rooms. Close the doors behind you. The doors behind you. Because we've each got a place in our Father's house, you see. Close the doors behind you. Hide for a little while. Until indignation runs its course. Until indignation runs its course. Daniel chapter 11, verse 36. Then the king will do as he pleases. He's talking about the Antichrist at this point. Then the king will do as he pleases, and he will exalt and magnify himself above every god, and will speak monstrous things against the God of gods, and he will prosper until the indignation is finished. Jesus says there's going to be a great tribulation. You'll know that the time is near by the rebirth of the nation of Israel. He says, but at this point, you should be waiting. You should be watching. You should still stay alert. Because no one knows the day or the hour except for the Father alone when the rapture will take place. And so we see the rapture of the church. We go to our Father's house. We enter into rooms. We close the door behind us until when? Indignation runs its course. Until the Antichrist and his time, once it's complete, you see. Excuse me, I'm sorry. We hear John say in Revelation chapter 4. He says, after these things, I look, and after this is the time, after the rebirth of the nation of Israel, after the church age, until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. We hear that a couple of times throughout scriptures. He says, after these things, I look, and behold, a door standing and open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things. Once you come up here, once the door is closed behind you, I will show you what must take place after these things. What is he referring to? Until indignation runs its course. He says, but, okay, we're going back to Mark chapter 13. He says, but of that day or hour, no one knows. Now, a lot of people says, of the day or the hour of when Jesus actually comes back and sets his throne upon planet earth, when he establishes millennial kingdom. He says, of that day or hour, no one knows. Problem with that is, we know that the day that the Antichrist is revealed, there's going to be 1,260 days until he sits down on the throne or in the temple and proclaims himself to be God. There'll be 1,260 days. We know that there's going to be another 1,260 days after that point. And Jesus clearly said, no one knows the day or the hour. But if we know anything about Scripture, we know exactly when he will return, because Daniel tells us, and the book of Revelation makes clear when he will return. The Bible is clear when Jesus Christ will return and establish his kingdom upon planet earth. He tells us exactly what's going to be happening. So he can be speaking of none other than the rapture of the church. He says, no one knows the day or the hour. No, the bridegroom, the bride, knew about when her bridegroom would come for her. She didn't know the exact date or the hour. She'd be listening for that trumpet sound. She'd be listening for the celebration of the bridegroom coming to receive her. And that trumpet's about to sound, precious people. The hour is upon us. And Jesus says we should be staying. Listen. He says, but that day or the hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Take heed. Take heed. Keep on the alert. He goes on to say, for you do not know when the appointed time will come. It is like a man, away on a journey. Jesus says, I'm going to my Father's house. I'm going away on a journey. Who, upon leaving his house and putting his slaves in charge, assigning to each one his task, each and every one of us, whether we're fulfilling the task or not, but each and every one of us has a task, a duty for the church body. We're all members of the church body. Some of us are fingers and toes, and others are eyes and mouths. But each one of us has a task. Also commanded the doorkeepers, stay on alert. Stay on alert. If you're going to be on alert, what are you doing? You're watching. You're looking. You're looking for the signs of the times. If you're expecting, someone to come in and rob your house, don't you know that you'd be awake? At least I would be. If I was expecting an intruder, if I had reason to believe the intruder was coming, I'd be on alert. I'd be looking. I'd be waiting. I'd be watching. And then Jesus talks about this, Paul talks about this, should I say, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He says, now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need for anyone or anything to be written. It's already been written now. You've been taught this. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. Well, they are saying peace and safety. Then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman. Jesus talked about these. These are birth pains. When you see wars, rumors of wars, when you see, all kinds of natural disaster, when you see these things happening, these are birth pains. They're only going to intensify. We've always had wars. We've always had volcanic eruptions. We've always had earthquakes. But man, have they intensified since the day of Israel's rebirth. They've just increased. And we see so many things happening today. Things are happening in the last 2 years. I can barely wrap my mind around it. Things have just been happening rapidly. Jesus told John, it would be tacos. They'd ramp up and they'd get faster and faster and faster and faster. All this stuff is going to be coming together very quickly. I come quickly, he says. These things are just wrapping up today. Jesus Christ is about to return. These things are happening before our eyes. The day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, the destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you're different. He says, but there's a contrast. The world's going to be caught off guard. Destruction is going to come up on them suddenly. They're not going to know what's happening. But you, brethren, but you, contrast, are not in darkness that the day would overtake you like a thief. Because you see, if we're waiting, if we're watching, if we're aware of what's happening around the world, we're not going to be caught off guard. We're going to be waiting with anticipation of that great and awesome day of the Lord. That the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light. You've been enlightened. You've been given the Holy Spirit. You've been given wisdom. Your eyes have been opened. Your ears, you can hear. You can see. You can understand. So you won't be taken off guard. We are not of darkness. Verse 6. So then let us not sleep. Let's not slumber. You know, when you're sleeping, you're not aware of what's going on. So don't sleep. Be aware. Be alert. But let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night. When it's dark, they sleep. The world's in a dark place. And there's many people who are not on the alert. They're not aware of what's happening. You know, we were talking earlier that this preparation, conditioning for the people of the world, because they're asleep, they're just not aware of what's happening. You know, I use the coronavirus as an example of that. I believe it's real, but people are being conditioned to receive what the government is offering to them. And of course, we know midway through the Great Tribulation, they're going to be offered this mark where they cannot buy, cannot sell, cannot trade. They're going to be offered this microchip, I believe it is, and this microchip is going to promise eternal life. You can have eternal life. It's the artificial intelligence. It's the AI system that we see promoted today. And so people will receive this because they have evidence that what's being said is true. The Antichrist, he was mortally wounded, but he's risen from the dead. And because there's going to be this deluding influence in the world, they're going to believe what is not true. We're being conditioned for that today, to accept what we're being told. Verse 7, for those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love. We're loved by our God. He loves us. He's done everything possible to save us. As a helmet and a hope of salvation. That's our great hope. The hope of eternal life. The hope of a resurrection. And of course, Antichrist is going to be mimicking that. Verse 35. Mark chapter 13, verse 35. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning. It depends on where you're at in the world, right? And you know, everything was focused upon Jerusalem in the preceding verses. Now, he's suggesting that this could, and we also know, because he talks about a couple sleeping in bed, and then he also talks about men working out in the field, which would happen in the morning, and then the ladies. But anyway, the indication is that there's going to be morning, noon, and night around. So it speaks of being around, grinding at the mill. The women would do that. No, the women would grind at the mill in the morning. The men would work working in the field later in the evening. So this is going to be a worldwide event. So we don't know, depending on when he comes, whether we're going to be in the day or if it's going to be later in the evening. Therefore, be on alert, for you don't know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, in case he should come suddenly and find you asleep. Be aware of what's happening in our world. Be aware. He's not saying be focused on being freaking out. He says be aware, be alert, so you're not taken off guard. Be focused upon these things, but not to be looking, you know, for a great tribulation, but to be looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. What I say to you, I say to all. Remember, the context here is that he's been talking to four Jewish men. He's a Jewish Messiah speaking to four Jewish men, and he's been talking about what was going to happen in Jerusalem. But now he's saying, what I say to you, I say to everyone. You see, he's speaking to the church now. I say to all, not just you. It's not just about the Jew now. The rapture is for all peoples, Jew and Gentile alike. I guess I covered all the verses here. Oh, yeah, I did. So, we're going to leave off there. Seemed like I had something else on my mind before it wrapped up, but I don't have any indication of it. So, Jesus talked about the parable, or he rides into Jerusalem. It's Palm Sunday. We talked about how for 4 days he would be scrutinized in every possible way, you know, concerning his integrity, concerning his theology, you know, concerning many different areas, his loyalty. He's been scrutinized in many different ways. So he's gone through he's the Lamb of God. He's going to take away the sin of the world. He rides into Jerusalem upon Sunday. For the next 4 days, he's scrutinized. Now he's talking about what the last days are going to be looking like. But as we move on, we're moving in to that fourth day. The fourth day would be the Passover in which he would be crucified. And so we're going to see the crucifixion, and then we're going to see the resurrection. But that's where we'll leave off today. Let's just close with that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great hope that you've laid up for us. We know what's coming, for your word clearly tells us. But we also know that we're given this information so that we're aware of the season in which we're now living. So in awareness of the season that we're now living, we can also be witnesses of the great hope that we have laid up for us. So may we be those who's also serving our purpose. Each one of us has been given a task. So may we be alert, may we be aware, and may we be fulfilling the task that we have been given so that we may proclaim your gospel message to a lost world, for we know that it is your will for no one to perish, but for all to come to repentance. So, Lord, may there be a peace in our hearts, knowing that we have a great hope laid up for us, and may we also be waiting in expectation of our coming bridegroom. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.